But it's much deeper than an attitude, because according to Scripture, there's things that are released in the place of thanksgiving. There are supernatural realities that will not be apprehended unless there is somebody giving thanks for them before they actually manifest in a natural realm. So in our ongoing series that we started a few months ago on faith and operational faith and operating and living in faith, today we're going to talk about thanksgiving. We know the psalmist says that thanksgiving and presence are connected, and our lives are to be lived out of the place of presence if we're actually going to be who he called us to be, because Psalm 100 says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. The entrance into his very presence comes in the place of beginning to be thankful. And quite honestly, there is a challenge for all of us that if we're going to fulfill the purpose God has for our life, the number one thing we must be aware of in an ongoing, increasing measure is his presence. If we think we're going to make disciples of all nations based on how smart we are, or how well we can articulate something, or how good, even though we're good looking, some of us, our good looks aren't going to get us there. I said, some of us, you can decide whether you're going to consider yourself in that or not, okay? That's up. It's open-ended opportunity. But the reality is, whatever it is that we're to be or do in our assignment, and we know that our assignment specifically laid out by Jesus is on earth as it is in heaven. We know that he said, all authority in heaven and earth, I have it and I give it to you. Now go and make disciples. Go and represent or represent me to all of them. And the Jesus that we see presented the first time is the one who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and afflicted. He went and he cast out demons. He went and he cleansed the lepers. He went and he raised the dead. He went and he healed the sick. He went and even manifested prosperity to those who needed something by saying, there's money in a fish's mouth, go get it and you can pay your taxes. So whatever lack or want that we see manifested in the earth, our job as representatives, as his delegated authority in the earth, is to address that lack or want from his presence with his solution. Okay. Scratch your head a little and say, well, okay, how are we going to do that? 1 Thessalonians 5, I've used this scripture many times. But 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17, 18, a very simple but profound concept. It encapsulates a big deal for the church, because it says, rejoice always, pray continuously, and in everything give thanks. Some translations say, give thanks always. And then in case you're wondering whether it's optional, it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God, what's your will for me? Rejoice always, pray continuously, and give thanks in all things. The Christian who says, I don't know what God's will is really evidently under a serious deception, like it's not been revealed, because it has been revealed. If you're rejoicing always, praying continuously, and giving thanks in all circumstances, you will be in the center of doing God's will, because that place keeps an open atmosphere for you to hear and obey the other details that he has for you to do. You know, although rejoicing and praying are equally important to a life of faith, we're just going to talk about looking at thankfulness this morning, because thanksgiving is really agreeing with heaven that by being thankful, we're acknowledging the truth that our lives are a gift from God and that he's sovereign over all. God is incredibly, extravagantly generous and kind. And the life that he's given to us, the life that you and I have inherited because of what he's done, is not meant to be of one merely surviving. It's meant to be one of abundance and of blessing. But unless we properly recognize what we've been given, we won't be able to experience that life. And that's really the reality of receiving any gift. If we don't understand what we've been given, we won't comprehend its purpose, and we won't be able to experience its benefits. And that's where being thankful, even when we don't know what we've been given, as I said before, if we're thankful, even though we don't know the fullness of what it is that we've received, it helps us to discover and apprehend it. I see that, again, that's the operation of faith, not the operation of logic or reason. And if we're going to be renewed in the attitude of our mind, our logic, earthly speaking, has to give way to his logic, which is heavenly and transcends all the reasoning and the faculties that we normally employ to navigate life. If we were as parents, and I say this because it's not our responsibility, it's not his responsibility for us to live up to our potential. That's something that sometimes the fatalistic Christian position lives in defeat because they don't understand that simple point. God says, all of this I've made available to you. Now, it's not my responsibility for you to figure it all out and to have the potential fully realized. He said, I've given this, now trust me and walk with me as I show you how to possess that which I've made available to you. And we can say, yes, we desire to apprehend, to possess, and we'll obey and walk according to your word in order to fully experience it. Or we can say, oh, that's meant for somebody else, not meant for me. Or, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll just have to dump it on me. And all those silly little things that we say, which really mean I'm too lazy, or I'm not sure if it's real, or I'm preoccupied, or there's something more important than apprehending the fullness of what God has for me. See, we don't maybe verbalize those things because that would sound sacrilegious. But by our actions, they speak much louder than our words. Oh, God, I want all that you want for me. Really? How much time did you spend with me? Well, at least 15 minutes this week. A whole 15 minutes this week? Well, if I'd really wanted to know how somebody was wanting me to live and what he had available for me, I'd spend as much time as available so I could figure out what his thoughts were, what his ways were, what his desires were, how he felt about me, and how he designed me to fulfill the purpose that he created me for. See, we don't want to be condemning in the fact that we all could grow in our relationship, but we also want to be naive to think that somehow we wave a magic wand and all the blessings of the Lord just fall upon us without any effort. And our effort isn't to strive. Our effort is to align with the truth of his word. And thanksgiving helps align us with the truth of his word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true, and so my circumstances aren't the final say in the situation. Thank you, Lord, that though provision doesn't seem to be currently here, that your word has already told me that you'll provide for my every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I can stand on your word and thank you that it's true, even though currently it doesn't seem to be accurate. What's more likely to give way, beloved, God's word or your circumstance? You know, and really being thankful, it's a posture of humility. It's really the only proper way to receive what God has given us because it honors our relationship with him by expressing trust in his goodness, even when we don't yet understand what we've received. If you're a parent and you've ever had Christmas morning, it's your home, which I'm going to assume some of you, or if you've been involved with Christmas morning, picture the Christmas tree with gifts underneath of it and the children coming out, seeing the gifts, and some of them just totally ignoring them. And some of the children going and getting them and just kicking them around and say, wow, it's a football, even though it hasn't even been opened yet. And the other one's opening it and then taking it and go, no, this computer is not a computer. It's a hammer. And they start bashing stuff with it. Wait a minute. And then somebody else just saw it open of it and just started using it without ever acknowledging the fact that you purchased it for them with their exact personality and desires in mind when you got it for them. All of those are abuses of a gift that none of us as parents would allow our children to do without correction. And so the Lord, when he wants to correct us, it starts with asking us, have you given thanks for what I've done for you today? Were you thankful for the gifts that I've given you, that bed you woke in and that roof over your head, that partner or that friend or that mate that I've given you? Were you thankful today for that shirt on your back and that car you drove to church? Did you give thanks for the fact that you could turn worship music on the radio at will and you have the Word of God available to you in 1,000 different translations at the touch of an electronic button? Is thanksgiving a lifestyle that you've apprehended, or does it have to be something phenomenally, incredibly wonderful for you to stop and say, hey, thanks for that? Because I tell you, if that's the position we have, we'll never apprehend the fullness of what God has for us. We start being thankful as a lifestyle with every breath that we take. God, thank you today that I'm breathing, I'm above ground. Thank you, God, for the friends and the relationships and the family, the life partner you've given me. Thanksgiving is something we practice, and as we do, it helps us to recognize the gift we've received from the Lord and the purposes that he made him for. Really, James 1:17 says, God gives us every good and perfect gift, right? God gives us every good and perfect gifts. But there are two specific reasons why God gives us things. Two specific ones. There's a lot of periphery ones that maybe you could come up with. Number one, he wants to make us to be prosperous in order that we could succeed in our life's assignment and make him known. Nothing in poverty, lack, or want preaches God provides. Nothing in darkness, sickness, destruction, and loss preaches to the world God is good. God preaches he is good through you and I, seeing the goodness of our Father released by the gifts that he pours out on us. I can tell you those that have had whatever the experience, I can talk about friends, I can talk couples. They say, hey, when their marriage was being blessed and other people want to, man, your marriage, you're awesome, man. I want to know. The gift that God has given you is amazing. I can tell you when we were younger, it was funny, and I don't want to say this in an arrogant way, but we thought it was really important to train our children to obey us. And we would be at gatherings, and I would tell the children to do something or not do something, and they would listen. Oh, imagine that. And we would have parents say to us, oh, man, I wish my kids, what is it that you do? How is it? And I said, well, when they don't listen, I spank their butts. What? Oh, we could never do that. Well, then you get a non-listening child. They didn't want to obey. Because their flesh never wants to obey. But when we train their flesh with a little swat on the bottom, I wasn't abusive, they learned, wow, I have to do what I'm told. You know, they wanted to learn, what's the secret of your success? Some wanted it and some didn't. But the reality of when we are successful, it testifies and gives opening for the gospel and for the truth that we're experiencing to affect others. So God wants us to prosper in our different spheres of connectivity. The other reason that God gives us good gifts is that he gives us those things as a demonstration of his love. And that causes us to desire the relationship to grow with him. He gives gifts to his children so that his children will in turn be drawn deeper into the relationship. If you will, gifts from God are the invitation to intimacy. And so when we thank God for those gifts, we keep the door open for closer walk with the Lord. You know, we shouldn't assume that we're as close to the Lord as we're ever going to be. See, that's one of those, I don't want to create distance, but I also don't want to assume intimacy. The Lord is as near as we want him to be and as far as we allow him to be. And if in our mind the Lord is far away and not with us, I believe with all my heart right now the Lord is challenging me and probably challenging us to actually come to the place where our lives are lived with a constant awareness of his nearness to us. That where we go, we're called to represent Jesus, and we do that not by being loud and boisterous and carrying signs and announcing Jesus is coming and you better get ready or you're going to hell. Those might be truths, but that's not the presentation that Jesus gives. The presentation he gives is he causes us to show up on a scene, that scene to have within it an answer or a problem that only he has the answer to, and we yield to Jesus and allow Jesus in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to show up on the situation and to address that situation like only he can address it. And we are challenged to remember that it's not based on our capacity or our ability or our maturity or how much righteousness we've been able to remind ourselves that we have. Our job, if you will, he used sinners and tax collectors. He used broken, weak, immature people, 12, to turn the world upside down in his day, not because they had it all figured out, but because they were yielded to him and obedient to just to do what he told them to do. We just go to that situation and go, there it is, God. You sent me here, and that situation I can't fix, but Christ in me, the hope of glory, can. I'll use my mouth right now and say, Jesus is concerned about this pain, this suffering, this shortcoming, this situation. Jesus is not okay with you being in pain. Jesus is not okay with you being in poverty. Jesus is not okay with you being in a potential divorce right now. Jesus is not okay with you being at odds with your children right now. Jesus is not okay with you not being in good relationship with your parents right now. And his will is always redeem, restore, renew. He is a restorer. He is a redeemer. He is the one who makes all things new. He is the one who went about, and none were turned away in their sickness or despair. So we have to, oh, what if they don't? Well, what if they do? I'm convinced that we're going to see a whole lot of people touched by the power of God when we're willing to step out and touch people expecting him to touch them. We have to thank ahead of time before we see the manifestation when that person says, I just got the bad diagnosis. Well, I guess what? I know a guy. I know a guy. And he's never, ever been unable to heal the sick. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never, ever come up a few dollars short in his ability to meet the needs of his children. I know a guy. I know a guy. See, I believe Thanksgiving sets us on a course to know God relationally and to discover the reasons for which he made us. And the issue that we have to acknowledge is, the question, I guess, is, well, what if we don't? What if I'm not? What if I say Thanksgiving is really foolishness because how can you be thankful for something you don't see, or there's other things, or it's just not worth my time to become thankful. I like being pessimistic and depressed all the time. Okay. Everybody knows somebody, right? You have chosen to be negative. Okay. And you could trace the root of that to you are not thankful. You never look at the glass half full. It's always half empty. You're always looking at what God hasn't done instead of what he has done. And you never expect him to do more. Why? Because that would cheer you up. And by God, well, I'm not ever going to be happy. I've set myself this way. Okay. But I'm afraid that might be contagious, so just keep a little bit far away. Oh, woe is me. Yeah, I know. Woe is you. Thank God for what you have, and I'm telling you, woe is you will be, hey, I've got a lot to be thankful for. Romans 1:18. See, God wants us to give thanks, as I said before, because it aligns us with the truth about our lives. And when we agree with truth, what does the truth do? The truth sets you free. Aligning with God aligns us with truth, and it allows us to be set free. So if we withhold thanks from God, we actually can cut ourselves off from who we really are. See, that's the issue. When we begin to withhold thanks, we actually do damage. We have self-inflicted wounds in the place of not being thankful. Now, as much as you think that I came up with that on my own, I didn't. I found that in the Bible. Romans 1:18 says, and there's a couple verses here, and we can turn there if you want to. There's 3 or 4 verses. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. He's basically saying God hasn't or isn't keeping who he is a secret. Knowing him isn't really that difficult. He said it's actually quite simple. Acknowledge or glorify him as God and give thanks. Glorify him as God and give thanks. This positions us, it aligns us with truth, and it gives us an open access to this really incomprehensible vast treasure of the knowledge of God. Glorify him as God and be thankful, not before you figure it out, because it's going to take a lifetime to figure it out, and then you're going to be frustrated if that was your goal, figuring him out. You're not going to figure him out. But glorify him and be thankful allows you to be positioned to receive a greater revelation of who he is. The greater revelation of who he is also comes with a greater revelation of who you are. And without that response, it says that our thoughts become futile and our hearts become darkened. You know what futile means? It means without purpose. You know how many Christians walk around going, I just don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my... Glorify him as God and give thanks, because your hearts become darkened to the simple truth of what your purpose is. See, that sounds pretty harsh, but when we begin to lose our way in fulfilling his purpose for our lives, because we've cut our own selves off without being in that place of agreement, thanks and glorifying him, we do that, we inevitably start making wrong choices. And as we make wrong choices, we further compound our already wayward trajectory. We're heading the wrong direction. What we need to do is course correct. Glorify him, God, is give thanks. But no, what we're going to do is just make some more bad choices and compound our already erratic course. So we become accomplices with the enemy at derailing God's plan for our lives. See, that's the real issue. I don't ever want to agree with the devil. But when we fail to give thanks, that's exactly what we're doing. See, it's a bigger deal than, well, some people are happy and some people aren't. Some people are just more, you know, what's that word? Give more gratitude than others, you know. Grateful. Thank you. Thank you. I want to give honor where honor is due. And this morning, a lot of what is stirring in my heart about this was inspired by Kelly. Because I watch her over this last season of time go out of her way to thank people for every little thing they do. And I'm like, wow, you just thanked the Walmart teller, or the checker. You thank everybody. I mean, people that you just expect. She goes, thank you. She doesn't just go, thank you. She's like, thank you, and I really appreciate it. She's sincerely thanking everyone around her for every little thing they do. And I'm like, there's power in that. There is power in that. That person just received a touch from the Lord because of the way you made them feel valuable by just thanking them for something so otherwise insignificant, and something that I would have totally, you know, as kind of dull guy, go, well, whatever, that's what they're supposed to do, you know. You're supposed to put the groceries in the bag, whatever, you know. Take it for granted. And she's just thanking everybody for everything. I'm thinking, wow. And the Lord began to say, no, this is really what kingdom culture looks like. It's walking in honor for every person, for everything that they do, because everything everybody does matters if you do it as unto the Lord. See, if our hearts contract a condition called becoming darkened, a darkened heart is unable to perceive spiritual realities. That's really the issue that we're going after. If we can't perceive spiritual realities because of a darkened heart, caused by not glorifying God and not being thankful, then we are in a bad situation. Because then our hearts don't become moved by God's desires. We don't let his affections don't move us. We become basically unable to respond to intimacy with him. And if we can't be intimate with the God who made us, if we can't be intimate with our Father, then basically we cut ourselves off from the life source that we're made to live from. Sure? Sure.
What I have to look forward to on a daily basis is working with couples who hate each other at the moment. And so they will send me emails ahead of time, giving me all this evidence how bad their spouse is, and trying to convince me that you don't know how bad this really is. And so that I would take sides with them, I guess, is their idea. But they're trying to convince me that it's really bad, and you don't know how bad he is, and he's trying to convince you, and he's going to tell you he's good, but he's not. And so one of the things that I have to do is when we get him on the phone is say, hey, is there, because scientifically, and Greg knows this too, is that when you go into this small part of your brain, you know, people in the professional world who don't believe in God call it your lizard brain. Because that's the first part in evolution, right? But God actually designed that part of your brain to survive, to run from a wolf, or to, you know, do or lift a VW up or something like that to save a child. So it's just this little part of the survival. But you can't have a conversation that's healthy if you're in the survival part of your brain, because it's fight, flight, or freeze. So your husband's either looking at you like this in a frozen state, and that freaks a woman out, or he's trying to run away from you, or he's fighting you. So none of those are options that work, right? And so one of the things that they've discovered through science is that with brain imaging, when how to turn on the relational circuits. So this little amygdala is lit up when you're in survival mode, but the relational circuits are up in the front, which is the big part of your brain. And they find that two things do this. One is intentional gratitude, being grateful, and the other one is singing. So if you can sing, that's what David did. He would sing unto the Lord. And so what he's talking about is this intimacy, right? Is so that when we actually are intentionally grateful, Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. What you're doing is you're actually turning on your relational circuits. Now, God doesn't say, go poop outside the camp because there's this thing called germ theory. He never explains that. He just says, poop outside the camp. And he does explain the science behind it. And then the Israelites are safe, and, you know, they do that. They don't throw their stuff in the gutter, and they do that, right? It's sanitary. Well, he also doesn't explain the science behind being grateful. Right. He just says, do this, and it will work. Yeah. And so what's happening, sing. Right. Yeah. But this thing about is when you sing unto the Lord a new song, or when you're being grateful, what it's also doing is that it's putting you into a relational mindset. And so now you can relate to God. And the moment you're relational, you're creative again. But when you're in fear, you can't think creatively. You can't believe that God could do all these wonderful things for you. So what happens is when I get a couple on the phone, I say, hey, before we do this, I just want to challenge you with something. Is there anything that you could look to the Lord and say, God, I just want to let you know I appreciate this. So I did this with this one couple. And she, I mean, it was all out war and still kind of like that. And she said, well, I have to admit, after we did that, that he was gone for 3 weeks, and I was really, really happy he was out of my hair. But after the second week was over, third week happened, I realized how much of a covering he really is, even though he's an idiot. There is a benefit for him being a covering, and these are things he does that I don't do, and so it's really been good, and I do thank you for that, and it's been a hard thing to acknowledge. And he was like, that was enough to keep him going for another 3 months. That one little word, you know, it's amazing, yeah? And so, but what happened is we were able to creatively start working towards some things. So when there's science behind this that backs what God says, but this intimacy, what he's talking about, it's just not be grateful. Well, fine, I'm grateful. No, you're actually allowing that brain to turn the relational circuits on for you to then begin to enjoy and say, God, this is really good.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Chris. That's awesome. That's awesome. So it keeps us sane and alive. Okay. It really does. Keeps us sane and alive, being thankful for both spiritual and natural reasons. I'm going to look at one final scripture, and we'll close with this scripture. I didn't write down the reference. So. Okay. Now the Spirit expressly says, I think this is in Romans. The Spirit especially says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Somebody can Google that and tell me where it's at. Okay. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, if you like looked up hot iron in your concordance, you'd find it worth it. Yeah, your conscience seared. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, in Paul's day, the addressing the issue was a lot about food, because food was a big deal. And the food that was set up and dedicated to idols was real. There were traditions that did those type of things. But Paul doesn't even acknowledge, if you will, that it has power, that it doesn't have power, or that it's weird, or that it's demonic. He simply says that prayer and thanksgiving, although this was set apart for something evil, prayer and thanksgiving changes the nature and sets it apart for something good now. Okay? Now think about this. He's not just talking about food. He's talking about a principle. Because this was demonically dedicated things that Paul seemed to be somewhat cavalier about. Don't freak out. Don't rebuke the devil. Pray and give thanks. And it switches it out of the enemy's camp into the Lord's camp. The word that is talking about here is sanctification. The Old Testament, they made a vessel of gold for the altar. They had to sanctify it by sprinkling it with blood, cleanse it, and then it was dedicated to the Lord only for the purposes of holy operations. Okay, and even when you saw the armies of the Lord going into battle, the kings or the commander would tell them, sanctify yourselves today because tomorrow, you know, we're going after it. In other words, it's a setting apart for the holy purposes of the Lord. In this case, even for war, which in God's kingdom was holy, but it's a setting apart. Now, think about this in a New Testament context. We haven't been sprinkled and temporarily set apart. But literally, the power and the life that we're called to walk in is actually part of the process of our sanctification itself. That as we thank God, a greater release of power is accessible. And as that greater release of power is accessible, he is seen and manifested and increased and magnified, even as we are becoming less. See, thanksgiving sanctifies. Thanksgiving takes something that the enemy meant for evil and translates it into being able to turn to the good. We don't want to make the wrong assumption that God sends evil. See, there's a whole bunch of people that don't have a theology to explain evil. It just all came from God. No. He said the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. Evil comes from him. How does a good father give evil gifts? He's got good gifts. It's not in him. He don't have evil things to give. His nature is good. He's always good. He's always been good. And good is what he has. The enemy is a liar. He's the one that's a thief. He's the one that's a murderer. He's the one that's been, from his very nature when he speaks of a liar. And he's the one who's been reaping and attempting to accuse God of doing the very stuff that he does. And so what we end up doing is we begin to say, God, I see this situation. I see this conflict. I see this sickness. I see that you don't make, what parent tries to teach their children something by causing them to be sick? That's just ridiculous. But what we do is we say, God, we thank you that you can take that which the enemy meant for evil and turn it for our good. See, that's the place where we take the very thing that the enemy intended to derail us, and we start thanking God that before this problem ever emerged, God had already given us a solution in Christ Jesus. And we begin to thank him for his goodness as a good father. We begin to praise him and give him honor, even though we don't understand all the details. And that situation moves as we take a hold of it and say, God, that was before us as an obstacle. Now, Lord, we give you thanks that you have the solution. It says that everything necessary pertaining to life and godliness is ours in Christ Jesus. Every situation. Thanksgiving can open up that. And you know that Jesus then can send us out with that same assignment that he received from the Father in 1 John 3:8. He said, destroy, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Thanksgiving accomplishes divine justice of the kingdom, and where the enemy is destroyed by the very thing that he intended to use against us. And that, to me, is exciting. If nothing else were to happen outside of Thanksgiving, other than that, we ought to rejoice that God could use us and our negative circumstance as we give thanks to turn the tables on the enemy, and that which was meant for our destruction becomes that which expands the kingdom and destroys his plan. Amen, 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 amen. God is good. All right. Well, stand with me, if you will. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you today. We thank you. God, we thank you today, Lord, that we understand in a greater way, Lord, the power of thanksgiving at a whole new level. God, that you are causing us, Lord, to be those who consciously live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, we see the mountains crumble and we see the walls fall down, Lord. Lord, as we thank you today, Lord, we see the sickness go, Lord, and we see poverty flee. Lord, today as we give you thanks, we thank you, God, for light breaking forth and darkness running, God, to hide from the sons of God manifest, God, through thankfulness in this house, God, in this city, in this community. Father, today we praise you and we say, God, help us. Help us, Lord. We right now are ready, God, to make a shift, be those who carry thanksgiving in every situation and transfer those negative things, Lord, into your hands, Lord, that you would turn the tables on our enemy and glorify your son in the midst, God. Lord, we praise you. God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. Lord, as we go today, Lord, we want to say, God, bless our moms, Lord, bless our families, but God, help us to be thankful in all things, Lord, just as you instructed us to be. For your kingdom and your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.